It's 512 at Galesburg's Evening News and WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. As we've been telling you today, the former Aldi's building at Main and Henderson Street has a new owner. It's Milan, Illinois-based. Oh, God, I just forgot the name of the business. It is Nature's Treatment of Illinois. The sad thing is I forgot and I had it right in front of me, and I forgot that I had it right in front of me. Gee, maybe I need some recreational marijuana. I don't know. I'm just kidding about that, of course. I'll be fine. But we're going to talk about the building being used, the possibility of, again, Galesburg's first pot dispensary coming to town, and issues related to all that with Ken Springer, president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
I'll talk about the business and the use of the building end of this first, and then I'll get into the pot issue specifically. This Aldi building at Main and Henderson, it's been vacant for what now, about 5 years?
Yeah, I think it was 2013.
Talk a little bit about that. Is that a typical or atypical amount of time for a building to sit vacant like that?
I don't know if there's a typical or atypical amount. I mean, the building is fairly large. It's about 14,000 square feet, and obviously it was set up for a grocery store because that's what it was. And you know, since then it's sat vacant for a number of years. We've seen, I would characterize it as you know, sporadic interest in the building over the last few years, but nobody really wanted to pull the trigger on it. I mean, most of the retail clients that we've worked with, they're either larger stores like those that are occupying the former Walmart. You know, those are approximately 15,000 square feet each, or 20,000 square feet or more. And then you got your retail storefronts, which are, you know, 2,000, 2,500 square feet and less. And so it's kind of a weird size of the building. I mean, it's got great parking lot. Obviously, it's a very commanding presence there on the corner. Corner has amazing traffic counts, so it's well situated, and we're just glad to see it put back in use.
Because of that median, though, it's a little difficult to enter and leave, though.
Yeah, it's kind of got a funky ingress and egress pattern, but you can still get into it from two different directions, which is well, I guess three if you turn on the little side street to the east of it. But you know, overall, it's got good access. It's got really good visibility. And you know, when the state of Illinois passed this cannabis law in I think it was like late May, right, and right before the session ended.
Yeah.
You know, I think the law passed on a Friday, and then Monday morning, my phone just started lighting up with all these different entities wanting to get into this market, and so we started showing businesses around and you know, what they were really looking for, at least the dispensaries that we've been talking to, they've been looking for you know, really good prime retail sites, because there's only going to be a limited number of them in Illinois, and so they want to. You know, they want a really good retail location, and that's what they found in that Aldi building.
And again, I'll get to the dispensary issue in a second. Is the building itself in good shape?
Really good shape. Yeah. It was excellent shape. And I want to throw a quick shout out to Jerry Dahl and his team at Dahl Realty. We're awesome to work with on this project. The building's in really good shape. It seemed to, the configuration of the building seemed to work really well. For NTI, and of course, you know, that's not just going to be the cannabis dispensary, right. don't let that bury the rest of the story. But the remaining portion of the building that the NTI is not going to utilize, they're going to cut that up into different retail units, and they're gonna go find tenants for those retail units. One of which we know is going to be a coffee shop, which is cool. But the idea is that there's going to be multiple businesses working out of that location, and hopefully that's going to bring a lot of new life to that corner and drive some traffic.
Is it more difficult to kind of subdivide that building, like a building that size versus the old Walmart, which I guess worked out probably better than I could have envisioned?
Well, I'm not an engineer by trade, nor am I an architect, so I'm kind of out of my depth when I say this. But I think the Walmart project was probably easier to subdivide simply because it was just a gigantic box.
Oh, sure.
And with the location of the former Aldi building, it's kind of tucked in the corner, kind of the rear portion of that of that parcel. I think there was some additional challenge. But the guys from NTI have a plan, and you know, I think it's going to be a really good reuse for the property.
I remember hearing something a long time ago about that building, that anybody who wanted to buy that building or use that building would have had to use it for for a retail interest. Is that true? And does that make it difficult to market a building like that when there's a caveat like that?
From what I understand, there was a deed restriction on the property that prevented it from being used as a grocery store. Because I remember there's
Right. That's what I mean.
There was a lot. And that's so common. So common in retail. When a retailer leaves a space and they sell it and they move to a different spot in the same community, they'll leave behind a deed restriction that prevents a competitor from coming in. That's just basic business 101. And so, yeah, over the years, there's been a lot of folks in the community that's like, why can't we have a grocery store back or try to get, Aldi to move back there, which the market was not conducive to that.
Given the fact that Aldi has already had to expand a little bit since they moved, there's no way they would ever go back to that building, I would think.
I didn't think it had much chance of happening. And again, we weren't involved in that at all. But for anybody that's wondering, why don't they just put a different grocery store there? Well, yeah, to my understanding, there was a deed restriction that prevented that. So yeah, it didn't rule out all forms of retail. It just ruled out the specific use for which the building was really designed around, which of course forces you to become creative. And that's why, you look for creative reuses like this that are going to find ways to put the building back into use.
Okay. You mentioned on the issue of recreational marijuana now that NTI in more or less was one of those entities that called you on Monday morning after Governor Pritzker signed the law expressing interest in locating here. Was it really that simple, I guess, to get somebody into this building?
No. Well, in of course, there's all the sausage making behind the scenes in economic development. No, but the challenge is so from a very – let me back up. We'll talk a little bit about the state law. So the way the state law is designed, only existing medical dispensaries will have a license to open a dispensary, a recreational dispensary in this first wave.
And that's where NTI came in because they were part of the pilot program.
They're an existing medical license holder, and there's benefits to that. And I'll talk about that in a second, benefits to the community for that here. But so the way the state is going to roll out the licenses for these cannabis businesses, for the dispensaries, for the craft growers, for the transportation businesses, for the infusers, they're rolling them out in waves. And so the first wave of new businesses that we're seeing in the cannabis space are these existing medical dispensary license holders. Okay. Now, with that said, it's not as simple as just, hey, come to the community. You have to have the community has to essentially opt into allowing cannabis businesses into the community in order for obviously for a business to come here. And that's done through the zoning process, the local zoning process.
And while the city and the city council are in the final stages of, they'll take a final vote next week on that matter, it was pretty clear that Galesburg was going that route.
Correct. Well, we tested the waters in July by bringing forward a resolution to essentially get council input and say, hey, should we pursue this? And council voted 5-0 to approve the resolution, which that resolution told essentially directed city administration to begin working on the zoning. And so that's where we're at now. We're one step away from approving the zoning. But the challenge is for communities in Illinois is not everybody's got their zoning done. And that was one of the things that as this new industry started to show interest in Galesburg, we kind of looked around and said, well, how do we meet them halfway? And the way we do that is by getting our zoning approved because these businesses want to be open by January 1, right? So January 1, the law goes into effect. Mm-hmm. Any adult in Illinois can purchase, consume, or possess cannabis. And so these stores want to be open on January 1 in order to take advantage of that. And so if you think about it from the business's perspective, they not only have to find real estate, they have to go through the transaction process and buying that real estate. They have to retrofit it, build it out. They have to hire staff, train staff, stock shelves, buy signs, landscape the place, promote themselves. I mean, there's all this stuff that has to happen before January 1. And so our thought was if we're going to do this, let's go. Let's get the zoning done because I think there's an advantage for us getting one of these first dispensaries. And if you're curious, I can unpack that a little bit for you.
Yeah, do that.
So it's two reasons why I think that this is important. So first of all, number one, if we as a community are going to do cannabis businesses, we want to get one of these first initial dispensaries because – everybody that's in this first wave has already operated a cannabis dispensary in Illinois for a number of years, right? These guys that we're working with, awesome. The team, by the way, Nature's Treatment Illinois have been so great to work with. They are awesome guys. But they've been operating up in Milan for years. They know what they're doing, right? Yeah. They have a track record. They have a safety record. They're in compliance with all state laws. and they know what they're doing. And so we're getting a company that has been doing this for a number of years that has a very high class, very good looking store up in Milan. They simply are going to replicate their existing company philosophy here in Galesburg.
You want someone that's already established, and they can in turn establish themselves in this community. And that kind of sounds like that's sort of a trickle down type of effect. Maybe.
Well, it's a positive, because the alternative is so at some point in 2020, probably late 2020, the state is going to start allowing people that basically everybody else to apply for licenses to open dispensaries. And with that, it's going to be kind of a crapshoot. You don't know if they're experienced. You don't know how well capitalized they are. By going with this first wave of dispensaries and by putting ourselves as a community in a position to attract one of these projects, I think we're going to get a higher quality, or there's a better chance that we're going to get a higher quality project. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, again, if the state's not going to start licensing these things, these other dispensaries until, late 2020, that's a long period of time where we're not going to be seeing any sales being generated or any sales taxes created or any jobs created. So essentially, if we don't get in this first wave, we're going to be set kind of twiddling our thumbs until possibly late 2020 or maybe early 2021. And so that's why it was important that we really attack the zoning and get this stuff done.
On the other hand, though, possession of cannabis is still a federal offense. How much of a concern is the fact that it's still against federal law versus the state making its own law?
Well, that's a question for lawyers and public safety folks. I mean,
did that come up though, or is that something that goes through your mind though when you hear from a company like this that says, "Hey, I want to set up shop here"?
I don't know. I mean, so again, you're getting into federal policy, and that's not my forte. I mean, what I've seen from the other states that have legalized cannabis, which of course we're not the first. We're 11th right. in the country. Apparently, all the other states have figured out a way to live with this, and I got family out in Portland area in Oregon, and we were just out visiting them, and like the sky hasn't fallen there. I mean, there's a lot of you drive by a lot of dispensaries. They're occupying a lot of real estate, and there's a lot of jobs that have been created. So,
but then there are other places like Colorado where there's been some concern about, and even there's been concern by the sheriffs in Illinois saying, hey, we'll have more people potentially using marijuana and getting into accidents and violating other forms of the law, though.
Well, I'm not going to argue on the social policy side, because sure, we're a nonpartisan, nonpolitical. But I mean, from my standpoint, the state law was settled with the vote of the legislature in this past session. My job as an economic developer is to figure out ways that our community can position itself to create jobs, tax revenue, and fill real estate. And I'm looking at this as the free market guy, I guess, for the community, and saying this is a $2 billion
ask you about that. For a state that's always seems to be in sort of a fiscal crisis, this could really kind of help.
Yeah, I mean, so the question is, are the tax rates set properly for cannabis? And I think time's only going to tell on that. But, the state's earmarked a portion of this cannabis tax revenue for mental health services, which is chronically underfunded in the state of Illinois. Communities themselves can levy up to 3% sales tax on recreational cannabis purchases as well. So, I mean, there's revenue to be made from this. I mean, the bottom line is communities are obviously free to zone this stuff out of existence if they really want to. But even if a community's like Monmouth, for example, zones it out of existence, doesn't change the fact that their residents can, again, possess, buy, and consume cannabis. They're just going to drive out of town to go get it. And so the question is
– yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. That's the mayor of Monmouth often talks about the term retail leakage, people going to other communities to do business, and he wants to try to change that here, but in Monmouth. But conversely, they just said no to a potential business.
Well, I mean, and again, that's their call, and I'm not an elected official, and I don't understand all the pressures and the competing interests. Again, I'm just a little free market guy here trying to find a way to create jobs for the community. But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the positioning of this new cannabis business at the intersection of Main and Henderson Street means it's reachable from three different directions. If somebody's coming in from the north, they got to drive all the way down Henderson Street, pass every gas station, every eatery, every retailer on Henderson Street in order to get to it. Yeah. If they're coming from the east, if they're coming from the Peoria area, they're going to come in on Main Street at 74, pass through every single business on Main Street and through our downtown. My hope is that we're going to get people coming in from out of the community, spending some money, and maybe they fill their gas tank up or they grab a pizza or something while they're here.
In the state, you say that this could potentially, in addition to $2 billion in revenue, could create thousands of jobs statewide. Locally, there's a not insignificant number of jobs that could be created just here alone.
Right. Specifically with this NTI project, and this doesn't include the other retail storefronts that are going to be part of the project, they're talking about 25 full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Now, that is, again, just one aspect of this new cannabis market. There's three other different categories of business. You've got transportation businesses, you've got craft growers, people that are cultivating, and you've got people that are processing, taking the raw product and turning it into edibles or concentrates or whatever. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different types of businesses that could come out of this. But the key thing is, you know, we got to decide, is this something that we want in the community? And you do that by approving the zoning.
I'm out of time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you the question that the last time I had you on, I asked you, and there wasn't a direct answer. And then the next day I had to talk to you again about another business. Anything else coming down the pike for you, Ken?
I promise we will have no more press releases this week.
This week?
Yes.
Obviously, I know there's other things going on, but from your perspective, how hard – well, I guess we answered this earlier. This almost seemed like that this was a pretty easy thing for your office to be able to tackle, was it?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of strong feelings about the cannabis as a social policy. And again, we're not involved with that because we're not a political group. But I've always taken a very black and white approach to what we do with economic development. I mean, our charter is to create jobs and new tax revenues for this community, and I'm going to find every way possible to do it.
Ken Springer, president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development. Thanks as always for your time, and thanks for all the work you're doing.
Thanks.